The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
The book of Joel is a short book, but a dynamic one. I guess one of the most famous verses in the Bible is Joel 3:14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And we stand in the valley of decision because of the prophecy of Joel fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Because the kingdom of God's dear Son did come, as Joel said, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit overwhelmed the apostles and introduced the gospel to the Jews and later to the household of Cornelius, when this promise and prophecy was consummated and fully conveyed and revealed, confirmed, we find that all nations, all flesh had seen the salvation of God, Luke 3, verse 6. The gospel had gone to Jew and Greek alike. The kingdom of God had been established. The last days had begun. I love a little book called The Bible in Verse by Alvy Ford. He sums up each book of the Bible in poetic form, and let me share with you what he says about the book of Joel. "Hear now, you people, destruction has come, wasting and poverty, dearth has begun. Gather your elders and pray for the land. Cry, for the day of the Lord is at hand. This is a day of destruction and sword, yet there is hope for the call of the Lord. Then shall his people abide without shame, having deliverance, safe in his name. Down to Jehoshaphat nations shall go, learning while there God's destruction to know. Then shall he cleanse and replenish the land. Judah shall dwell with the Lord in command." Someone has well said, Joel is vivid like Nahum, tender like Jeremiah, sublime like Isaiah, strong like Micah, and men and crops and fields mourn together in this elegy over sin. The book of Joel tells us that we do not offer the fruit of our body for the sin of our soul. We do not tear our garments, but our heart as we turn to God. The book of Joel, then, is a prediction of Pentecost. The book of Amos, the fiery preacher, the preacher of repentance, said that you people try to flee from the Lord, and yet you're going to reap what you sow. It's like a man who flees from a lion and a bear meets him. He runs into a house to escape the bear, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. There's just no way to escape the wrath of God, and you've turned your back on him, and you have time for one thing: prepare to meet your God. You're at ease in Zion. You offer only noise instead of worship. You really have declined spiritually and do not care for the refinement of heaven. And as a result, you become like a basket of summer fruit, overripe, stinking. There's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of the Word of God, and there's no hope for you. The book of Amos is a very powerful book that asks the haunting question, can two walk together except to be agreed? He's simply saying, since Israel will not agree with God, they no longer walk with Him. They're no longer known as His companions on the road of life. He said, you need to hate the evil and love the good. Amos 5:15. The book of Obadiah, the one chapter book of the Old Testament and the prophets, tells us of the overthrow of the descendants of Esau, who heckled the people of God and who cheered for the Babylonians when they destroyed the city. Read Psalm 136 and 137, where they said, erase it, erase the city to the ground. And as God's people were fleeing from the city of God, these evil men, these half-breeds, these who should have, as descendants of Esau, been friendly to God's eternal purpose, would catch the people of God and throw them back into the mainstream of the enemy. They wouldn't even let them escape. They stood by on the other side, aloof, uncaring about the plight of God's people, Abraham's seed. And for this, the pride of their heart had deceived them, and though they lived in a natural rock-ribbed fortress known as Mount Seir, God said, you may soar as eagle's wings, I'll cast you down. The book of Obadiah teaches we reap what we sow.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by